Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Rob.
I'm Chris.
So again, you may notice Alex is still missing. If anyone has seen Alex, please send us an email, some type of correspondence. Now, Alex is up in, where's Alex at?
He's in New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. So he's up there for the Star City Games Invitational. He was playing that and then a little bit of the Open. We haven't heard too much. Sounds like it wasn't going super hot, though, but we'll talk to him a lot about that next week. So today, I mean, we wanted to open up and talk about, there have been a lot of Zendikar spoilers from the PAX panel last night.
So that good.
All is pretty fresh news. Yeah, so we'll talk about that some. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about balancing work, life, and magic and how we deal with that. So guys, battle for Zendikar.
Oh man, I cannot wait. Though one thing that was kind of disappointing is, so last night my Facebook blew up with the full art fetches and the full art shocks. And immediately it's like, no way, they're not going to do this. Closer look at the card, symbol in the bottom right was different from Battle for Zendikar.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk about, so the Zendikar Expeditions is what they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically this, it looks like the rarity, the information's kind of fresh right now, so take all this with a grain of salt, but it looks like the rarity is going to be more rare than a regular mythic, but slightly less rare than a foil mythic. So, you know, pretty rare. Some of the early numbers we're seeing estimate about one per case, so you're not going to be seeing a lot of these in the wild, but they're reprinting all of the shock lands, all of the fetch lands, and then the five new duels that we'll talk about here in a second. And they're, I mean, they look pretty sweet. You guys both get to see those?
Yeah, the art on them, I really like how the art looks.
Yeah.
The full art concept, it just looks really nice. They did a good job with the art and the design. And something new.
Yeah.
It's going to give what I call like the elitist something to shoot for.
Yeah, these are going to be some serious command cards for sure. Yeah, I like the frame a lot. It looks like it has like some type of like sort of tribalish looking marks all around the frame. So it looks very much like an old relic or something like that. The art looks great. It's all new art for all of them.
And that's going to be easily identifiable too. Whenever you crack that pack and you start sliding the back card and you see that, immediately your heart's going to stop and you're going to be praying, be Scalding Tarn.
Right, yeah. Please don't be one of the new duels. Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, they look really good. It's cool that they're still, I mean, clearly Wizards wants to move boosters. They want to move boxes and cases. So this is just a new way to kind of entice people to buy a little bit more than they're planning on. But, you know, this is a pretty good one. There's going to be, you know, it's going to be exciting if you're in the shop and someone cracks one of these.
Yeah, it you can definitely tell it was a money move.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it's a uncalled for money move. It was in the right direction. It's something that you would want. So it's something that you don't have a problem buying a couple extra boxes trying to crack one of these.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be like, I'm really excited to see how the price settles on these, because these things, I mean, it's kind of unprecedented, right? There's not really anything we can compare this to from a price standpoint. So some of these could easily be, you know, $200-$300 for some of the fetches. So, I mean, this might be great for newer players that, I mean, it's like, if I crack one of these, I'm going to have that moment of, like, despair. Because I'm never going to buy the other three to match. Like, I'm never going to go play with these things.
And
but
just think if they release some of them, even on a foil set.
Yeah. Well, these are all foil, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, they're just foils. Yeah.
Okay, so they're just foil. So, I mean, the price on them, if you're... Me personally, like we were talking about earlier, if you get one, you're going to use it to trade for at least a play set of whatever foils or whatever fetches or shocks you need, or a combination of both, because I can see the price just really getting up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you could easily like turn one of these new ones into two or three of the equivalent, like the regular version of the card.
Yeah, and depending if you pull, you know, say like the red blue one, easily you it's might be looking gone, yeah, yeah yep. easily looking at all four, and someone's gonna make that trade. Someone to them, that's gonna be what they want.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, so if you're a newer player and you see these, I mean, I am kind of nervous because, you know, there's gonna be newer players that luck into one of these and people are gonna hound them and trade them all kinds of garbage for it. But if you see someone crack one of these, don't let them move it for anything low. Like, I know new players aren't impressed by lands, but hopefully there won't be too much of that. But yeah, no, I mean, if that would kind of be my mindset. Like if I crack one of these, it's being turned into other modern staples. Like,
yep,
immediately.
But well, I mean, like either immediately or hold on to it, because I could easily see too, like, man, in a few years, these things are probably going to be, oh man, absurdly
just,
expensive.
Just think of what the price on a box is going to be once they're not printing this box anymore.
It's true.
And that's before, what people are going
that
for.
That chance. I mean, that's why you see, oh crap, up in the northern part of the state, when we went to a couple IQs, they have a beta booster pack for $3,500.
Yeah.
Only because there's that small chance you might get that Black Lotus. Even the Moxes are less than that, I think, except for maybe two.
Well, this was also, that was like, it was graded, right?
Yeah, it was graded.
So yeah, I think it's more of a collector's item. They'd probably be pretty bummed out if you bought it and cracked the casing and opened that bad boy. But yeah, so I mean, we kind of mentioned it a second ago, but the new dual lands look pretty sweet. Pretty excited to play with these.
The biggest thing that I'm looking forward to these dual lands is it brings something back that we haven't had since Return to Ravnica, and that's a fetchable land
in Standard.
Right, yeah. A fetchable dual in Standard.
Yeah, so the text on these bad boys are like the Island Plains one. It's land type Island Plains, so you can fetch four with the fetch land. And then the text is that it enters the battlefield tapped unless you control two or more basic lands. So it's, you know, it's not a shock land. It's pretty close. You kind of have to manipulate instead of just paying life to get it untapped. So it's a little bit harder to use in that sense. I'm sure we're going to be seeing these all over Standard. I mean, just the fact that it's fetchable speaks tons to its merit. But Modern, probably not so much. This kind of continues the theme of Wizards printing good enough lands for Standard that aren't going to see Modern or Legacy play, which is kind of a shame because you're going to have to spend money on these lands and then not really get to use them much after rotation. But they're pretty cool lands. I could see them slotting into a few Modern decks. We talked about Blue Moon earlier. We were mentioning before we started the cast, like that's a Modern deck that runs a lot of basic lands. So it could see some play with some of these. I'm sure there'll be someone trying it out.
Yep, and the colors so far, they've only spoiled five, and it's all the allied colors. So you've got Prairie Stream with blue-white. You've got Sunken Hollow for blue-black. So Bobby Esper, you're all over
that. Yep, we're set, ready to roll.
Smoldering Marsh for red-black. You have Cinder Glade for red-green. And then you have Canopy Vista for green-white.
I'm excited. I was expecting maybe to see a fast land reprint, or they were even talking about man lands. I mean, either one of those would be good, but the fact that they took fast lands and made you have to think about turn two, turn three off your fetches. So now you either have to think, do I want to go get this at the end of my turn, or do I want to go ahead and fetch for a basic now? And if I have one in hand, when I play go for this next land, be able to play it right off the bat. It gives you for that turn three, turn four, turn four that I can put it right into play. Whereas traditionally with the fast lands, it was just a tap dead card in hand. And the fact that it's fetchable on top of it, I think someone's going to find a way to use it properly in other formats besides Standard. I could see some of them for some of those decks out there going definitely to Modern.
Yeah. Like I said, well, that's going to Modern shifts a lot slower. So that, we'll see that eventually, I'm sure. They maybe pop up as a one or two of in some decks. But Standard, I would imagine for a lot of decks, this is going to be a four of. Aggro decks are going to be kind of the big question mark because I'm not really sure. Like, I mean, aggro can't really play these. It can.
I would say Atarka, Atarka Red.
Yeah.
Because it does run a lot of basics, and it does very little with the splash green. So it just gives you an added benefit of getting that green and not having that worry about, oh, it's just a forest that I drew.
Yeah.
Because with the Atarka's command still out there, even if you go with a a sly version, Atarka's command's too good of a card that you can easily justify it putting it in. And if you are on that, this gives you the opportunity to play that very well.
Yeah, a sly version though, I don't think would run it. I think a sly version probably wouldn't, just because their turn one plays are usually pretty, you know, they're looking to get going on turn one, where this might prevent that. But I don't know, we'll see. Maybe even as a two of or something like that. Maybe just not the full play set. But it'll be cool to see how people use these lands. I'm kind of excited that they're printing lands like this where I think that it's a little bit more skill intensive than some of the other lands. I think we're going to see newer players mess up sequencing and end up not being able to have this untapped or something along those lines where you can make, you know, slight slip ups and mess up your mana base so you don't curve out quite right. So I kind of like seeing, like, I like the Scry lands. I think Scry was kind of a skill intensive, like mechanic, I guess. So I like seeing a push more towards that. It's not an obvious choice. And even with deck building, it's not an obvious four of in every deck. It's kind of close to that, but you know, there's still some question marks revolving around it. But yeah, so I mean, we're all excited to try those out. I think those will be just fine. I think I like them more than Scrylands. How do you guys feel compared to Scrylands?
The Scrylands I really enjoyed just because it helped you a little bit more lean towards the two land disc could get there.
True, yeah, that's a
because
good point.
It gave you to look at the top card, especially on the draw. It gave you three cards essentially before your turn two.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Throughout the game, I like the Scrylands just because it helps you filter. Now I see these as maybe a leg up with the Mulligan rule. Maybe.
Ooh, that's true. That's a good point too.
But it's still close because if you're not getting to the bit, like if you're playing Abzan or something, you're not playing a lot of basics. So it just might hurt you more than it helps you.
I think this gives better late game insurance also because late game you need that other land and it's a Scry land, you're just
can't use it.
Yeah, gotta wait immediately. You're just put down and that could be the game. Whereas with these ones now, if you already have your two basics out, which in standard, most of the times you do, you know, it comes in and enters untapped, and you'll be able to use it for one or the other.
Yeah, I think it's going to help control a lot. Control doesn't have to worry.
It'll be nice to... We were talking about this earlier, too. Like, it would be great. You have, like, two fetch lands and this in your opener. Awesome. You can have, you know, dissolve. Hopefully it's a plains and an island and then the untapped land on turn three. Now you've got, you know, any three colors or any three drop spell with double white or double blue, you're good to go. Like,
yep.
Yeah, no, that definitely looks great. And then I don't know, for people who don't play modern, who never played with fetches and shocks together, it's a very common play to turn one a fetch. And then at the end of your opponent's turn, crack it, go dig up your shock land, put it into play tapped. And then, you know, obviously you untap it on your turn. So, you know, you can't use it on turn one, but on turn two, it gives you both colors ready to go right there. So I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of that too. And in that sense, I mean, it's pretty much exactly as good as a shock land.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll definitely be seeing these. Pretty excited to see these come into rotation. And then, yeah, we're getting new, you know, this is already announced, but they released the art for the new full art lands. Those all look really good.
Oh, they look great.
Yeah, so excited to see those. I mean, not much to say there, but they did confirm that fat packs, for people who don't know, again, I mean, fat packs come with, is it?
40-card land pack.
Yeah, so a 40-card land pack in each one, and they are going to all be the full art lands. So this is a good time to stock up. I mean, we were talking about earlier, like, I'd like to get, you know, 20 to 30 of each art that I like, just so that way, you know, I'm good to go for decks. I don't have to mess around looking for lands.
I was really excited about them just because I don't know if you guys have started looking the prices on. I like playing with the full arts. I haven't moved on, you know, the unglued, unhinged yet, but they were starting to creep up.
Yeah.
Islands are starting to go for $3 a piece. Even like the John Avon Forests were starting to get up to $2 a piece. So this will just give more in the pool. It'll let.
Yeah.
And I like to think about the new player too. He wants to look like, you know, he's been doing this. It starts to show, hey, I'm taking this seriously, because you start looking at the lands. Are they all matched?
Yeah.
You know, what lands is he playing? And I think this is going to give them an affordable way that they feel good about themselves on, hey, I'm starting to take this game seriously.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's going to bring the price down a little bit to start getting into this.
And more options. I mean, like, I always laugh about this, but I had thrown together a modern deck we were playtesting with, and I put in just regular old lands in there, and I kept thinking they were proxies. Like, I just couldn't look at a regular land anymore and treat it like a land. It kept throwing me off. So I'm glad that we have more options now for full arts. It was the Noah Bradley Island I pointed out, right, Rob?
Yes.
That thing looks great. I love that. I mean, that... obviously, I want these because they're cheap and they look good, but that's probably my favorite full art island printed so far now. So very excited about that. That's kind of what I was hoping for, with some fresh new art. So yeah, so I mean, that's lots of exciting things in this set. Also, like we said, there are tons of spoilers. So let's talk about some of these. Some of these look really good. They spoiled the new Gideon Planeswalker.
He looks interesting. I really like the ability for you to drop him and ultimate him. The only thing I'm kind of let down about is it kills him immediately.
Yeah, so here, I'll run through these abilities real quick. So Gideon, ally of Zendikar, starts at 4 loyalty, and his abilities are +1. Until end of turn, he becomes a 5/5 human soldier ally with indestructible. Prevent all damage to him this turn. So, pretty standard Gideon ability. He also has a -0, just put a 2/2 knight ally into play. And then a -4 that gives you an emblem with creatures you control get +1/+1. It's like a, you know, rally enchantment style. So yeah, so I mean, like as Rob mentioned, I mean, it gives him different ways to approach this planeswalker. I mean, he can be a beater if that's what you want. Or, you know, yeah, if you just need that extra damage, you can cast him on 4 and just ultimate him right there to get the +1/+1. So pretty interesting card. I mean, I like it for a Gideon design. Pumping out 2/2s is pretty sweet.
I'm always a fan of that. I'm going to miss Xenagos when it rotates.
I will not, but...
what's the converted mana cost on him?
That's 2 white and then 2 colorless.
2 white and 2 colorless. Yeah, I like it. I mean, you're coming down at 4, so you don't have to worry about necessarily getting burned out immediately. His 0 abilities, awesome. Clog up the board.
Yeah.
The +1 is, I think, still value because, I mean, you +1 him and you swing... And most things you're going to take out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know.
And he's going to survive. So I think he's good. He's solid. I can't wait to see. Maybe we were talking, it was either last week or the week before. White Weenies has a lot of possibilities to come back, but it doesn't have that payoff card. And maybe this is it. Because, I mean, when you're staring down a 5/5 indestructible. And you've been playing the aggro game the whole time. Now what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, it makes it interesting. What is the angel that it's like the ghost prison style angel? You got to pay 1 for each creature to attack or whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
Archangel of Tithes?
I think that is. Something Archangel of Tithes. But
that could be a pretty interesting setup with Gideon to where you put that up, kind of put shields up, pump out a bunch of 2/2s, clog the board up. I mean... There could be a pretty interesting white deck in there or some type of blue-white control with these going. So he slots into a lot of decks, so I like that about him. He's not – he doesn't have, like, a very specific game plan to him, so he can kind of be worked around. He's not, you know, he's not amazing, but pretty solid.
I think he's solid enough, though. Yeah. I look at something like this. It's not ideal for the control matchup, but the 2/2s coming out – clogging up the board for a controller solid. Yeah. The ties where they have to pay to attack or pay to block.
Yeah.
Is solid. Cool the two of them there, I definitely start to see maybe a little bit of synergy going on there. And I won't say that control has been non-existent, but
nah, it's been popping up a lot.
Maybe now, like, this might be the thing that for us who don't play control, we're starting to go, I mean, the rest of the spoilers are will tell, but
right. I mean, that's the biggest thing is, will there be a deck for this card?
Yeah, Bobby, how do you see? I mean, you play control a lot. We're losing Elspeth, Gideon coming in. Do you think it's it's not as good? I don't think because Elspeth was able to put out the 3 blockers.
If this sees play in a control shell, it's pretty much because you're already in white anyway. This wouldn't make you want to go play white in control. It's not. It's kind of it falls into that weird like it's pretty much a mid range card. Like it's not an aggro card. It's way too slow for that. It's not really a control card just because it's a decent win con. I mean, on that side, yeah, I could see it as a win con, but it's not like, you know, it's not Elspeth where you can come in. You might Wrath if you want to, you make some blockers, whatever.
Right.
But no, I mean, but it's a pretty solid win con. I mean, making him a 5/5 soldier with indestructible, like he's pretty hard to get off the board and he could definitely do some damage.
And the ally mechanic too. I'm really anxious to see how Battle for Zendikar is going to keep utilizing this allied mechanic.
Yeah. I'm because we're kind of getting at this point, and I mean, this always happens where each new set comes out, you've got a slew of mechanics, some see standard play, some just kind of disappear into the limited world, and that's all they ever do. So, you know, we'll see what becomes of ally. I don't think we've seen anything yet so far that's like, oh yes, this is going to be amazing, but who knows what's left. We still got a lot of cards left to spoil, so And then Ulamog was another one that we saw. Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger.
Oh, limited bomb.
Yeah, this thing. I mean, man, we might see some standard play out of this guy too. But so when he enters the battlefield, you exile 2 target permanents. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. He's indestructible. And then whenever he attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of their life.
Top 20 yeah. gone.
And whenever he attacks. So, I mean, he doesn't even have to connect. I mean, so because at first when I read this, I'm like, he's a 10-10. Like, he's a faster clock damage-wise than he is mill-wise. So, it seemed kind of pointless. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, it triggering when he attacks is pretty big. Because that means you can chump him and you're still just going to lose in 3 turns.
Yeah.
At least 3. like Rob said earlier, like, we could see some limited play out of this guy. Definitely. I mean, that's, pretty brutal. Pretty backbreaking.
Also, as you were saying, though, for standard, I mean, See the Unwritten, we're still going to have that card.
Yeah.
So if you can See the Unwritten into a Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, that's going to make me very tilty, very salty.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few. We saw one Eldrazi kind of ramp card already. We've seen some more. You know, there's always going to be mana dorks. I think Ugin's kind of proven that 8 isn't too much. So now I guess Ulamog is going to be the test of if 10 is too much. I mean, he does, you know, there are some removal spells that still get him, but with indestructible, it makes him a little harder to get off the board. And then it gets around, like, if he didn't have this exile the top 20 cards, I would probably rule him out of standard right away, just because you can chump him for days. But then that kind of provides this ulterior angle where, like, doesn't even matter if you chump him. He's still, you know, clocking away at you. So, so Ulamog, I mean, that'll be interesting. Not bad. I do think it's key to point out that it looks like at this point we can confirm that they've just gotten rid of Annihilator as a mechanic for this set. They didn't include that, which is probably good, but, you know, it kind of makes me bummed out because that's what made the Eldrazi feel like these huge, devastating creatures.
The feared beasts that they made them out to be in the lore.
Right, yeah. I mean, those were pretty sweet abilities, but it looks like, you know, we're replacing that with, what was it called? The
Ingest.
So Ingest is a mechanic now where it's sort of similar to Ulamog, except for they have to connect. So when they deal combat damage to a player, is it Ingest and then a number? Is that how they're formatting it?
The Ingest is at the value of the amount of damage that creature deals.
Gotcha. So whatever their power is, you exile that many cards from the top of your deck. So, you know, we'll see. That one I'm not as crazy about because, you know, it's always faster to deal 20 damage than it is to mill 60, so...
Yeah, I think the Ingest is all right, though, because a lot of people are really salty about Annihilator.
Yeah, I think that's general, the biggest reason, yeah.
Just on the attack, you know, I get to, what was it, Sacrifice or Exile? I think it's Sacrifice.
It was Destroy, right? You destroy some of their permanents? Or was it Exile?
Yeah, well, the player, we get to choose. We get to choose what we're going to get rid of.
Oh, right, you're right. Good point. So it was Sacrifice.
So, I mean...
Hey, I need to correct myself on Ingest here. I pulled up a card with it. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. So it's not even the amount of damage. It's just one.
I thought I saw one that was like Ingest 4 or something.
There might be a number associated, but the ones that they have up right now, which is Dominator Drone, and
that's not.
I just had the flyer up. Mist Intruder. They both have the same, and Dominator Drone is a 3/2. And it has the exact same text for Ingest. So.
Yeah, so it seems like this was an attempt to kind of keep the flavor up of it, not necessarily the playability, like, because that's just kind of silly. Even though we did see there was one of the Eldrazi cards where you can play lands that you've exiled from your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play any amount of them that have been it. So if you have enough low-costed ones, there's something there, maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was them just trying to wind back a little bit because that Annihilator was...
God, it's backbreaking.
I mean, especially if they're, you know, they're doing some sort of shenanigans, Rob, you know, and all of a sudden you got an Ugin at, like, you know, even at turn 3 or turn 4 and...
You mean Emrakul?
Oh, yeah, Emrakul, turn 3 or turn 4, and they hit it and they get to swing with them. Like, that's game.
Hey, why'd you wait so long to pull out Emrakul? Why are you waiting till turn 4? Why didn't you do turn 2?
Yeah, see? Like,
running late there.
It's almost, especially in like a modern format, there's almost no way to come back from it. It's just real hard.
Yeah, but you know, I mean,
I'm sure we're going to
give them that feel.
I'm sure we're going to get one or two that we're going to look at and be like, are you kidding?
Well now with Ulamog, like, it makes you wonder, like, are we going to get a new Emrakul? And I'm wondering, like, story-wise, I don't keep up. I kind of know what I overhear, what I kind of read on Reddit from time to time. But are these guys going to be, like, toned down? Are they supposed to be weaker than they were? I know they've been trapped in, like, the land.
Right? Yeah, I mean, they've been defeated once. So is it possible? Yeah.
That might be a decent way to explain why they're not quite as intense, even though I guess from like a power toughness basis, Ulamog is.
I mean, we can always look at. I could beat you up and then stuff you in a jar, and when we finally let you out, we can see if you're stronger.
Yeah.
Than when I put you in the jar.
I mean, probably not. It depends on how big the jar is, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like, I think it's cool. I think they found a good way to kind of keep it there flavor wise, and maybe they're toned down in the story, maybe not. We'll find out. But Annihilator, yeah, that's not something you really need to do again.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, even Alex said he played when it first came out, and he said Emrakul is what made him quit the first time.
Yeah.
He was like, because everyone found a way to abuse him, put it on the field, and whoever swung with him first won.
Yep.
I mean, it's no different than most other formats, but.
Yep. So, I mean, so that's Ulamog. I did jot down one more I wanted to talk about, and that's just Ruinous Path. That's the Sorcery Speed Hero's downfall. So it's almost identical. It's double black and one, destroy target creature or planeswalker, but it's sorcery speed. And then it has another new mechanic on it. Oh, man, what was that mechanic
called? Awaken.
Awaken. So it's got an extra cost that you can pay. So you can pay 5 and double black instead to cast the card. And as it resolves, you put 4/1/1 counters on target land. It becomes an 0/0 elemental creature with haste that is still a land. Rob, do you have that pulled up?
I do.
Is it as it resolves? What's the wording on that?
So if you cast a spell for Awaken, if you cast.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Also put.
Nice. Okay, nice.
So it doesn't matter if it gets countered.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So yeah, so that's a thing to point out. Yeah, so anything worded like that, if it's when it's cast, then yeah, like Rob said, it's. You can counter it. You won't destroy the creature of the planeswalker, but you'll still get this trigger for Awaken.
A nice 4/4 elemental that's also a land.
And yeah, the way it's phrased, it's Awaken and then a number. So I'm sure other cards, you know, we'll see Awaken 2, Awaken, you know, 10 for an Aldrazi 1 or whatever. But so we'll see. But I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think I'd still rather just have instant speed hero's downfall.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I'm like, at the point that I'm going to pay 7 to kill something, I'm sure for 3 I can kill something and do something else that's possibly better.
Right. Yeah. And with it being sorcery speed too, that, like, at first I'm like, oh, with the Awaken, it's going to be good for control. But without the ability to end of turn, whenever you're up to your 7 lands, kill this, make a 4/4, untap, and leave more counter magic up and have your 4/4. It's
pretty sweet. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of icing on the cake. I think it's what we're going to, like, when you look at cards with this mechanic on it, the big question is going to be, is this playable if I cover up this little bit about Awaken real quick? And then if it's still playable, then cool, play it. And then if you find yourself in that situation, awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, typically, like, lands with counters on them are pretty good. I'm not sure what our removal is going to look like right now. I know there's quite a bit of stuff going out, but we may very well see some new removal spells that are destroy target, you know, non-land permanent or, you know, what have you, that might make it a little bit hard to defend against some of these Awaken creatures. And that would definitely put, you know, more of a premium on these spells, make them a little more playable. So it's kind of a meta thing. We'll see. But yeah, I definitely think like control decks are probably going to be playing Ruinous Path if they're in black. Maybe not the full 4 of, but we don't really have a lot of ways to deal with planeswalkers right now. So this one's probably going to see play just because it's a necessary evil, more so than the Awaken mechanic is so good. But I know in my future, I'm probably going to have to deal with some man lands, some man-made man lands, which, you know, will be a pain. But so we'll see. I'm curious to see what other Awaken cards pop up. So, I mean, before we get out of this, do you guys have any more thoughts on this? Anything you're excited for?
I'm excited for Landfall.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy to see Landfall is coming back. And then just again, those nice expedition lands, I'm very pumped for.
Yeah, the treasure hunt begins.
Yeah, I want to see what burn package it brings. See what I can start looking to upgrade, if anything at all.
Yeah.
I already played, you know, with Searing Blaze, which has a landfall effect, so I like it. Hopefully they bring something else to the table that's really good.
Who knows? Searing Blaze might get reprinted.
It very, very might be. But overall, looking, I mean, granted, we're at limited, maybe 10% spoiled, maybe.
Not even.
Yeah. But so far, it looks reasonable. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, we got, I mean, from what they've shown so far, like, they definitely went to town at PAX. They showed all kinds of stuff. Everything so far looks great. I'm pretty excited for this set. They've been doing great lately. I mean, Origins had a lot of hype. This already has a lot of hype, and we still have more Planeswalkers to reveal, more all kinds of stuff still coming up. So
there is one thing I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Wizards are a bunch of I can't say the word. I'm not happy with them.
Talking about the Arid Mesa art?
The Arid Mesa art was spoiled at Comic-Con panel.
Yeah,
take a look at it, rewatch the panel video, and you'll see that is one of the pictures they showed. And oh man.
Yeah, looking at it now, I remember it.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, no, that was pretty good. I liked it. But yeah, I mean, so it looks like a great set. Everything so far looks awesome. Obviously, I can't say it's a great set yet. We still got a lot to go, but we'll be watching. We'll be watching closely. Definitely getting excited for pre-release. But all right, guys, we'll get on out of this, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk about balancing work, life, and magic. Welcome back, everybody. So for this segment, we wanted to talk a little bit about just how we go about balancing our work schedules, the rest of the things going on in our lives, all with magic. I think as we became more and more competitive, we found out very quickly how much of a time sink all of this can be. I mean, with travel and with big tournaments and even just weekly games, it's tricky. It's pretty hard. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? Any tips or tricks for balancing your life with magic?
Have a very thoughtful and loving wife or girlfriend.
Bam, yeah, that's it. Segment over.
Yeah, it's definitely priorities. You have to walk this fine line. Like Rob was talking about the wife or the girlfriend. All right, so you have to walk this thin line of what is priority this week? Do I need to show the people around me that attention? Or do I need to go shuffle up and, you know, destroy some souls?
Yeah.
And you can't lean too much one way because, I mean, then you become out of contact with the game. You lean too much the other way and either A, you're minus a girlfriend or a wife, or B, you don't have to worry about them anymore because they have just packed up and rolled out. Because it takes a lot of your time to stay. Yeah.
Just get a divorce.
It takes a lot of time to be competitive. I mean, there for a while, I mean, we were gone almost every weekend.
Yeah. We had a long stretch where it was just like, I mean, my girlfriend was not into it at all. That was the cause of many, many rough nights. But like you said, I mean, I think it's a big part of just like, you can't go too heavy on one side or the other. You really have to find like now the biggest thing that I look for is I try to, like we were talking about earlier, tomorrow night, I know she's going to be wrapped up. She's got stuff going on. Boom. Perfect. Like Modern's on Monday nights. Going to go play some Modern. It's just taking advantage of schedule situations and then giving people a heads up and really knowing like, hey, this weekend I need to go do this and prioritizing events. I've noticed that I don't really F&M as much anymore. I don't do smaller tournaments. And I think the same goes for you guys. I mean, it's probably been a while since you've F&M'd, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I F&M'd. With my work schedule right now, really the only play I'm getting is Magic Online. But even still, you have to balance that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so that's kind of my biggest thing is like I would notice that if I would go play two small weekly events, she's kind of fed up with it. She's like, ah, you got to go play again this week three times. So now I've kind of gotten to where I'm like, all right, you know, I want to hold out on doing bigger stuff, making the most of it, making sure that when I do go, it's worth it and prioritizing the events that I want to do. So, like, I mean, that's a big part of it. I think another big part of it is, like, you don't want to. I noticed when we were going every weekend, I would get into these ruts where work was busy, pressure from her. She didn't want me to go. I'd go anyway. We'd go for the weekend. It'd be a super tight, like, get off of work, leave right after work to travel, to get there, play the day, and then you would do poorly, and you had to head straight back and get ready for the work week, and it just felt bad. It put too much pressure on doing well, which we all know magic. Like, you can sleeve up the best 75 in the room and just get the worst pairings. Like,
yeah, I think we started to look at time versus reward.
Yeah.
So am I going to drive 5 hours for a PPTQ of standard? Maybe not, because there's probably going to be a closer event that's within 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but then, like, me and Rob, we took off. It was, what, like four and a half hours to go play a legacy, what was that, an IQ?
Yep, legacy IQ.
A legacy IQ, just because how many legacy IQs are we going to come across?
Right, yeah.
You know, not very many.
And another thing, too, to take into account with this, with the whole balancing the work life as well, is the not just the drive to, but that drive back. What time are you getting home at night?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you going to be
shot?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say what helps us is definitely being military. So not all of our days are 9 to 5.
Right.
You know, so me, like, I'm on a shift. I work 16:30 to 01. So the late drive back on a Sunday doesn't affect me. We can come in at 5 in the morning. I can lay down, still get 8 hours of sleep and go to work. But that Friday night when I'm getting off at 01 is rough.
All right, that time is actually 4:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. for those who don't know these crazy
numbers.
Yeah, for me, rarely. What are you guys talking about? That's not a time. But, yeah, so I guess we get this quick background. Rob, you're in the Navy.
Yep.
Chris, you're in the Army.
Yep.
I am a 9-to-5-er most of the time. I'm an accountant, so month end, it's like this weekend I'm not at the Invitational because it's month end.
Yeah, but like year in, you had that long stretch. You're like, it's 7:30. I'm still at the office and yeah. I want to choke someone.
Yep. Now there. So that's kind of the other lesson I've learned is like when I know it's going to be hectic, I either can't schedule events, or I know we've done this once in the past where I was like, if I'm good to go with you guys, if you don't mind waiting, I'll be ready sometime this evening. Like,
yeah,
I'll have my stuff all packed up, and whenever I get out of the office, we're good to go. Because like, there are situations where I know Friday is going to be long and busy, but I know Monday is going to be a pretty like zombie kind of status day. I can come in there tired and it's going to be fine. Most of the work's done. So I mean, that's the biggest thing, is planning ahead and getting to know your schedule and getting to know how you react to these big tournaments. I mean, the other biggest thing that's helped me out a lot, which feels like common sense, but it took me an embarrassing long time to start doing it, is just making sure like all of your other affairs are in order before you go. You know, even simple things like I do all the laundry, I wash up everything, everything's good to go. So that way I know I can come home, pass out on the bed, wake up, get going.
Like, That's kissing up. That's not getting affairs in order.
That's a little A and a little B.
Yeah. I think one of the important things is just the mutual respect.
Yeah.
I feel if my wife wants me to spend time, you know, there's got to be some events you just say, hey, she wants me to stay around the house.
Yep.
You know, I understand because she's let me go ham the last 3 months and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But it's got to be, I think the key word's a mutual respect. When I tell her, look, this is a big event. This isn't a PPTQ. This isn't an IQ. I mean, I'm talking Opens or Grand Prix. She knows I'm going to be gone those weekends because those big events, if I can make them, I'm going to make them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got to have someone that's understanding, and that's a huge piece.
That helped me out with the Invitational in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, that was a big drive that we took. That was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were gone, completely out of a different state.
Mm-hmm.
But because I've been open about playing Magic and kind of explained to my wife the structure of things, she knew, hey, this is a big deal. This is awesome that you got qualified for this. Yes, you can go. But then the next weekend, it's like, hey, there's a PPTQ. I was just gone last weekend. Guys, I'm going to sit out.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to preload it or equal it out. Like, hey, I'm literally going to be gone all weekend. All right, so maybe the weekend before and the weekend after, I spend time with the family, or, you know, we come over here and we do a little cast and then head to the house and take the family out. So it's got to be a good solid balance. You know, you don't want it to where they think it's overtaking your life.
Yeah.
Because it definitely could, if you wanted very to be easily, competitive.
Very easily.
Especially up here where we're at. There is so much of a scene up here compared to when I was at Georgia that when I was on leave, when I had just moved here, I was posting you guys when you first brought me into the group and you guys brought me into the messenger chat. It was almost what every day I was telling you I was playing competitive Magic on some sort of, even if it was a local shop level,
something
almost every day.
Yeah.
You know, I think Sundays was the only day I really wasn't doing it. And I mean, it helps the game, but does it help the life at the house is what I'll pose.
Yeah. And that a big one of that is like, I would notice like, oh man, I remember for a while there was like, I would go Tuesdays for standard. I'd go Fridays for standard. And then we would do weekend tournaments.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I'm sitting there looking at it like, all right, she's pulling her hair out. Like, and I'm also, you know, I'm pretty busy at work too. So there's nights mixed in there where I'm late at the office. And so it becomes this thing where I'm like, oh, whoops, I haven't seen my girlfriend in like a month. We live together and I haven't seen her in like a week and a half. But, as I looked at it more, I'm like, all right, so we're going to some of these local standard tournaments. We're playing not tier one decks. The prize payout is meh, not great. Yeah. Pretty poor prize payout. And it kind of got to a point where it's like, man, I feel like I'm just playing Magic for the sake of playing Magic. Which, you know, sometimes I do those things for fun. But like from a competitive standpoint, yeah, I wasn't getting anything out of it. I was playing against decks I'm not going to see at higher levels in tournaments and stuff. I'm playing stuff that, you know, just some homebrew against a guy who, you know, he might be good. He's decent, not a great pilot. I can kind of read what he's doing pretty easily. And so, yeah, it gets to this point where you're like, man, I'm really not benefiting from this.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think that's a big one is knowing, you know, prioritizing tournaments. So that way, you know, you're hitting big events, you're hitting, you know, meaningful things and also not burning yourself out because it gets tiring. Like,
yeah, because we've definitely skipped on tournaments. We're just, hey, it's a 3-hour drive and first place gets 18 packs of boosters. And it's like, you know what? We'll just meet up over at Bobby's and watch UFC and relax and eat some pizza instead. Because
take a chill night.
That sounds way better.
Now, there have also been the ones too, like you said, with the legacy IQ. It's like, oh crap, this is going on. How far away is it? All right, whatever. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Plus, how many people were there? Like 20?
Yeah.
So it was a good little spread, but I mean, it was very it was very attainable to top 8. You know, pick up some good little points and everything. And but would I do it again? Oh yeah, just because it's legacy, it doesn't show up. But realistically, for prize payout, was the drive worth it? No. But we did that for the experience to go play Legacy. Yeah. It doesn't pop up every now and then, you know, play some different decks. It was fun, you know, and you'll do that too. Like, cause we were looking at the schedule. There's not a lot around here for September.
No.
Yeah. Now we're coming up on a dry season,
but October and November, it starts packing up again. So what will I probably do? Yeah. I might take the trailer out, see if you guys want to go set in the woods for a day or two. Out, but I'll probably spend most of September preloading with the wife so that when October comes around, she's like, go away. It's all about that planning.
See, there you go. Kill them with kindness.
Oh yeah,
get on their nerves. Just always just be there.
Yep.
Watching whatever you want on TV, deleting their shows off the DVR. Just don't cross the lines, but you know,
one thing I want to point out too is Chris just said, you know, looking into October and November, that's how far ahead you need to be looking also to be planning these. So you can plan that time off of work. You can, you know, inform your significant other, hey, I'm going to be gone. Like there's one I've been talking about for a month and a half already. It's the Pittsburgh Grand Prix. It's going to be modern. It's in November, the weekend before Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm already planning this trip. I've already talked to my friends in Pittsburgh and I'm starting to get arrangements almost finalized for a place to stay. And
is that just for you or for all of us?
Oh, no, for all of us. Don't worry. Nice. Yeah, I'm not going to leave you guys out.
We have to go to the Best Western down the street, Rob's.
Don't worry. Ben Roethlisberger sleeps next door.
Nice.
But no, yeah, just looking ahead, seeing what that schedule is like, because that will help things better at work for you to get ready for, okay, everything that needed to get done got done between Monday and Thursday. Friday could be an easy day and I could try to skate out early, get to where I need to be and get ready for this tournament. And you're not at the office late on Friday, or you're not trying to explain to your girlfriend or your wife Wednesday night, Thursday, hey, I'm leaving this weekend. You are? I took the weekend off so we could hang out together. Ooh, about that.
Yeah. No, I find that the women in your life are much more open to these things if it's 2 or 3 months away. They seem pretty cool with it at the time. Like, oh, yeah, sure.
Constantly remind them.
Yeah, just kind of bring it up casually every few weeks because they love to forget, you know, stuff they don't care about. But...
Or they're not listening at all. And they're just like, yeah, okay. Hey, you see this picture of this cat?
Yeah. cat video. What? But yeah, no. So, that's definitely a great way to look at it. I mean, we've gotten much more like, and it also helps having you guys because there are plenty of times where I kind of space on stuff and then I keep getting these messages in the chat. Are we doing this? Are we doing this? Or I'm like, all right, good. I'm glad. Glad someone's keeping me accountable here. Because yeah, I mean, like, it's real easy to kind of get sucked into the game. It's real easy to, I mean, we know people that have kind of let a lot of other things in their life fall apart. You know, I mean, it happens. And it's like anything. I mean, when WoW first got popular, there was all kinds of study, you know, cases of kids dropping out of school and doing stupid stuff. And it's a fun hobby. It's a good time, but you don't want to wreck your life over it. That's for sure. And you don't even want to put it in a bad spot. There's definitely a very healthy way to go about this. I think we've all gotten pretty good at it recently. I know when we first started, jamming competitively, like, man.
Yeah, because every weekend we're traveling 2-3 hours to do any semblance of an IQ, PPTQ, whatever it was. All over StarCityGames.com to figure out, okay, where's the closest one? 3.5 hours?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. And then we do terrible. We drive home, be angry, eat some sheets. Good old soul food.
Oh, sheets.
The comfort. But yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and another one is, you get to a point where, like, I think it's because when you first start playing competitively, you're like, yes, I'm committed. I'm doing this. I'm hitting every tournament. And then you kind of have to take a step back at some point and go like, all right, look, like, what am I really getting out of this? I'm paying more in gas to get there than the boosters I might win are worth. Like, it's not.
Yeah. I definitely like how we started doing the gauntlets before big events compared to driving the time to a PPTQ or an IQ. Because, I mean, for a PPTQ or IQ, I might get, you know, 5, maybe 8 rounds, we'll say, on a big event. But the gauntlets, like, by the end of hour 5, we had usually at least played 3 games against 6 or 7 different decks, you know, versus those events where you might see the same deck 2 or 3 times. So, and that helps, too, because at the end of the night, or... like, we've started doing to help relieve that. No, I call it like the wife or the girlfriend aggro. You bring your family and you're like, here, you two entertain each other and we're going to go over here and do this.
Pair them up.
Here's some dirty dishes and groceries. Have fun.
Yeah.
Don't hate me, sweetie.
Yeah, they don't listen to this cast, right? But yeah, I mean, so it's definitely important to have that balance. It's definitely good. I mean, this was from the time when I started playing with these guys and we started playing more seriously was the period of my life where I went from college student to, you know, young professional. So it definitely, like, man, I was pretty upset. I really thought that college kept me really busy. I really thought that I was going to leave there and it was going to be 9-to-5 life and I was going to be good to go. But, like, now life got way more hectic. So, I mean, and I know a lot of players are kind of in this demographic of early 20s, late 20s, kind of moving in towards like that, the adulthood side of life. And I mean, it gets tricky. Like, it is what it is. There's definitely adjustments to be done. There's definitely ways to look at it and work around it. But you can't let Magic weigh down on other things in your life because not only will it affect the other things, it bleeds itself back into Magic.
Like, yeah.
If I know that I'm sitting there doing poorly at a tournament and I know that I kind of ticked off my girlfriend to be there and I'm like, man, now I played poorly all day. I didn't do well. I, you know, O2 dropped and sat here while other people played. Now I got to go home to an angry girlfriend and work in the morning. Like, it makes tournaments. It puts way too much pressure on doing well at tournaments.
Yep.
And it puts too much pressure on yourself and your hobby. And it makes you start to sort of loathe it or regret it. And you don't want to put yourself in that position. It's way better to miss a tournament here or there than to just let yourself get completely burnt out and sick of it.
Yeah, and not get hung up too if you miss a tournament and then the deck you play ended up top 8ing or winning and you're like, oh, that could have been me.
Right, yeah.
No, cherish the time that you did have relaxing because it might not have been you.
And find less, like, demanding ways to keep up with competitive Magic. Maybe listen to a podcast, like, you know, read articles. There's, you can watch coverage. Like, I mean, there's plenty of times where we don't go to an open and I sit home and I watch coverage for a few hours. We message each other about decks, check out deck lists. Like, we're at a point now with Magic where it's become popular enough that there are tons of non-playing alternatives that can keep you fresh to the game, that can keep you, you know, in the know of what's going on. And I think balancing that with your other things is great. I mean, so at this point in my life, I don't play as much like regular weekday Magic, you know, non-big tournament, few prize packs on the line. Like, but I listen to a lot more Magic podcasts. Yeah. So in a way, like that's honestly, it's more beneficial than playing against, you know, some guy's new red black kind of aggro deck that he threw together last night. Like, you really just want to make sure you're getting the most benefit out of it and make sure you treat that time like with some respect, you know, don't blow it on stuff.
Or even if you do want to play Magic, you know, it is an expensive alternative, but look at picking up your deck on Magic Online.
Yeah.
And playing it there. Definitely price it out and make sure, you know, it's going to be worth your while. Some decks from paper to digital are going to be significantly cheaper. Others are going to be right around the same price. I picked up Burn for $200 on Magic Online. I don't play it on paper.
That's Modern Burn.
Modern Burn. And it allows me to just get that Magic play, see what decks are still out there for competitive Modern in that. And I'm at home. So if my wife needs me, I can either drop from the game, drop from the tournament, and go take care of what I need to take care of. But there's also that aspect of I'm home. So she's happier about that as well.
Yeah. And then if she's at work and you've got 2 free hours, you can pop on. Play a match or two. Cool. Yep. Yeah, it's you know, any little thing you can do to make Magic fit into your life a little bit easier. Because tournaments, I mean, there's no getting around it. Opens, especially now with the 2-day schedule, GPs, these are all like weekend long events.
Yeah.
You're killing Friday. A few days. Yep. You really are writing those days off. Even if you X2 drop, you're still lost most of the day no matter what. You need to just admit that to yourself. Don't try to do this nonsense where it's like, all right, we're going to go to the tournament and I'm going to come home that night. I got to throw some clothes in the wash because I didn't do laundry yet. And I got to do this and do that to get ready for the day tomorrow. And it just don't do that to yourself. Like, get your stuff, get your affairs in order, get your stuff straightened out. Yeah. You know? Get your life straight.
Front load that weekend to where all you have to worry about is just going and hanging out with your buddies and playing good, clean Magic.
Yep.
You know, and the only way to do that is to put priorities A, B, and C in a line, get them done, talk to your significant other, and have a good weekend. I'll text you in between rounds. I'll stay in contact, you know, something like that, to where they're not worrying, you're not worrying, you're having a good time because you don't have to worry about, you know, someone else is texting me every 10 minutes while I'm trying to play my game.
Yeah, someone's waiting for me to get home.
Yeah, it's designed to be fun. That's what I ultimately look at. I play Magic for fun. And if everyone's had it where we've decided not to go to a tournament just because we saw the follow on of so-and-so's mad or I have all this to do. You know, I've had to miss a PPTQ or an IQ to do schoolwork. Like, I go to college online right now. So every now and then I got to say, no, I got to catch up on schoolwork. Sorry. You know, because I don't want to come home at 9 o'clock at night and then sit down and grind out 5 hours of college work.
Right.
When I'm done.
You're already mentally drained.
And then go to sleep, you know, to get up and do PT in the morning.
And have the right people in your group. I mean, that's one thing that I take for granted, though, that as we're talking about, I'm thinking of, like, none of us give each other crap if we know that we're going to, like, we all understand. We all respect each other's obligations. If one of us bows out, there's no, you know, hard feelings. There's no, oh, come on, it'll be fine. You can get that, da, da, da. We all get it. Like, so it's definitely good to not have that sort of pressure from outside sources to make the wrong choice sometimes. So, I mean, definitely have the right people around you. Definitely just, you know, like we said, plan. And I like it because I go into these tournaments knowing this day is written off. Nothing else needs to be done later today. So we have days like when we went up to the Modern event in Richmond where it was just like, we all did pretty poorly. We went out and got food and just hung out and took our time and ate and relaxed.
Yeah.
So then that just helps alleviate that same kind of like, oh, this would have been a bad day. If we had stuff to do, we would have left right after that last loss. We have came home, complained to our significant others about how much we hate this game, and they would do the whole, well, then why do you even play it? That is, you know, and it just goes down that rabbit hole, where instead you get to go hang out. I think, you know, we went and got some pizza and just chilled out, joked around, goofed off, still had a solid day.
Oh, that, yep. That pizza place is so good.
Oh, I love that pizza
place. Yeah, shout out to Bottoms Up Pizza in Richmond, man. I think we go there just about every time we do something in Richmond.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, but yeah, so, I mean, that I think we've pretty much, you know, the dead horse has been beaten at this point. I think, I hope they get it. If not, we can't say anything else to help them. But we just really can't stress that enough, because it's one of those things that, like, it seems silly. Like, really? Your life is that busy? Really? All this is going on? But, yeah, like,
just... Yeah, just think of a seesaw. Magic's the fulcrum point in the center. Then you have work, and then you have the significant other.
It's like a four-way seesaw? It's like a three-way seesaw.
Yeah, yeah, maybe like a three-way.
Yeah, like a doctor.
Or maybe we could put, you know, just life is the fulcrum, and then you have the significant other and magic on the other end. And we want to keep them balanced. Yeah. All right. And because if
work's not on there, we need that third.
Yeah.
I can deal without work personally. Like,
I cannot. I
it's
need
what
work.
Support. What we need is, we need about 400 Patreon subscribers. So then we can just eliminate one of these. Oh man, I don't even know if that'd be enough.
No, I wouldn't.
But yeah. So anyway, you got your life seesaw there. You got to find that good balance. You know, it's key. And at the end of the day, it helps your magic game. That's what it all comes back to. We wouldn't be talking about it if it didn't. That's the point of all of this, is it helps your magic game. Like, in any little thing that you can do is better. So, I mean, all right. Any last thoughts on that? Like I said, I think we pretty much grinded that one out.
Again, sweetie, I love you.
Yeah, just hurry up and get that mutual respect established, and just plan, and you'll have good weekends, whether you win or you lose.
Yeah. It's pretty low effort. You don't have to do a lot. It's just thinking about it, being aware of it, like most things in magic. Once you're aware of it, you know, it becomes all the more easy. But all right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Next week, we should have Alex. We'll be back to the full force. That'll be nice. Other than that, you know, we are looking at getting people to write articles for the website. We're still kind of dipping our toes into the water for this. We don't want to split up our podcast material too much, and that's why we're kind of hesitant on writing them ourselves. So if that's something you're interested in at all, you know, please contact us. Give us a shout out. We'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. We'll see what we can work out. Other than that, you know, if you found this through MTGcast, please go check out our website at www.thesnapcast.com. There's some options to sign up to get emails when new casts are released, things like that. We're always looking for feedback. There's a feedback page on that page There's a place where you can get feedback on that page, and it helps us tons. We're still at, you know, the beginning steps of this. So we want to know, what did you like? What did you not like? What would you like to hear about? Anything, any little thing. I sound stupid when I talk. You don't like when I say certain words, whatever you got, throw it at us. We have thick skin. And then, you know, last but not least, we do have our Facebook page up and running now. If that's the easiest way for you to keep in touch with us, it's probably the best way. You can shoot us messages, things like that. That's at facebook.com/thesnapcastmtg. But all right, that'll do it. That's all my plugs. That's all I got. So we'll get out of this, and we'll see you next week.